So last week we started a message series, and it's going to be this week, and then next week we'll continue. And the title of this message, Real You, the imposter or the real you. And so last week we began and we talked about this guy, old Victor. Victor Lustige, he was a guy over in France who basically scammed a bunch of people out of about $1.3 million to buy the Eiffel Tower for scraps. Yeah, that was actually a true story. And so he pretended he was like an official. So he was an imposter. And then actually later on went and it's amazing, amazing story. So we talked about that word imposter. An imposter, in review, it means one that assumes a false identity or a title for a purpose of deception, for a purpose of deception. And so we talked about that we all have, like in our day, we have, there's all kind of identity theft. People steal your identity. How many of y'all ever been a victim of identity theft? I'll raise my hand. And it's all crazy. Wow, this is, are you really? How many of y'all ever been identity theft? Okay, you're one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, complex passwords. So, yeah, we should have a class on how to do passwords. So, anyway, passwords, that's a whole other thing. Identity theft and people trying to steal your identity. But really, there is an imposter that actually lives a lot closer than those guys. And this imposter that actually lives really like in us many times. And so we talked about, we went to the book of Judges last week. But this one guy, Gideon, we talked about Gideon. And God calls Gideon. The angel of God appears to Gideon and calls him. So the Midianites have taken over the area and he's terrified. So he's in this wine press. He's kind of hiding himself away. And the Lord comes to him and says that he calls him a valiant warrior. And we talked last week about how that's really not the way that Gideon saw himself. He didn't see himself. As a matter of fact, he calls himself, he actually went on and doubles down with the angel and says, hey, I'm from the weakest tribe of the weakest part of the family of the weakest tribe. Like that's how he sees himself. And so the angel turns him and says, hey, go in the strength that I have, for I am sending you. So this guy who feels like a loser, feels like he's not qualified. He feels that anybody else could probably be a better person to do this task for the Lord. But God chooses Gideon. And so God sees differently than how we see. God sees us and sees you and saw Gideon very differently than the way he saw himself. And so you look at it, it's actually a theme of the entirety of Scripture, where God chooses these people that are completely unqualified. You look at them in the natural, and they're not the person that you would think would be the guy. You know, you look at King David, and all of his brothers get summoned, except for David. How would that feel, right? Now, you're not even picked for the final choosing, right? He's like, oh, yeah, I got this other kid, like, over in the field. Maybe he's the guy. And so they bring him in, and God declares over him, hey, says, this is the guy that I've chosen, for man doesn't see how God sees. Yeah. So God sees you differently. So we talked about these things last week, and we talked about this idea of the imposter. And so we talked, this scripture we looked at, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. See, we've been given, church, this is what we hear. Just accept Jesus and you're forgiven. Well, that's true, but it's not just forgiven. You are created as a new creation in Christ. You are a brand new human. Actually, you're more like who God created you to be than ever before. That new nature lives inside of you, right? But the problem is that we also are still battling this lower nature. We talked about that scripture in Romans where it says the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, man, I don't want to do those things. And we can all relate to those things, right? There's this part of us, this old nature of us, And we called it the lower nature or the imposter who wants to continue to make us this old person that we are never created to be. When God created us, a new creation, to be the person that God's created us to be. Not a clone, but a person that you individually. You know, we all look at your neighbor and say, hey, you have a nature. You have the nature of God within you. Matter of fact, we're all created in the image of God. Or just in the way we look. It's amazing. You know what that is? Because God continually puts his image in people. God is infinite. His image is infinite. You carry an image of God that your neighbor doesn't carry. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That you carry an image of God that nobody else carries. It's you and you alone. So God has created you an individual. And there's this old book. It said, God made you original. Don't die a copy. Right? Be the image of God that God originally created in you. But the problem is there's this new creation, this place that God has for us, and this person that God has called us to be. And then there's this imposter in us that tries to make us be in our lower, like a lower nature. And so we talked about this last week, that the imposter, we said this, and we gave some examples. I think they're going to be on the screen. The imposter is attracted to worldly things. The new nature is attracted to spiritual things. The imposter has a closed heart towards people. The new nature has an open heart towards people. I could go, we're just going to keep going. The imposter is cunning and me-centered. The new nature has sincerity. The imposter has pride. The new nature is humble and lives in humility. The imposter has hypocrisy. The new nature is authenticity and integrity. The old imposter is limited. The new nature says all things are possible with God. All things. So we're going to read, we're going to dive into this a little bit more. That's kind of what we talked about last week. But I want to dive into this scripture in Romans. I appreciate our Romans small group that we have on Tuesday. Man, verse by verse. So this was a few weeks ago, after like a few months ago now. This is Romans 6. Romans 6, we'll start in verse 6. We're going to read a very lengthy portion of scripture because I want us to see this idea from this portion of scripture. Paul says this, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may not be, was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person," this is going to get real heady, and we're going to dive right into it. "Since a person who's died is free from sin. Now, if we died to sin once for all time, but the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of all those things, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its desires." We're going to get to that word in a minute. "And do not offer any parts of it to sin as a weapon for unrighteousness. But as for those who are alive from the dead, offer yourself to God and all the parts of yourself to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Everybody get all that? Understood every bit of it. Amen? Got it. So that's a lot, right? But basically, this idea from this portion of scripture, it says this: there is a part of us, or the old us, that was crucified with Christ. And the old self died, and a new self was risen. Like, there's a new part of you. Let me just say this. This is not This is Christianity. This is what we believe as Christians, that we have a new nature. The old nature has been crucified, has been killed, right? Has been rendered powerless, right? This is normal. This is not new thought Christianity. This is not new thought. This is scripture-based. This is what Paul is saying in his revelation in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is all about the new nature. We stick to those, you know, that you've been forgiven and those scriptures. But man, the majority of the book of Romans is you are a new kind of human. And that other part of you needs to be put to death, right? That there's this other part of you that needs to be, it's a lower nature that tries to rise up. This is what Paul talks about. This is what he says, and he's just repeating. Remember, a good old Baptist man. When we baptize, we that's what he just say we. So anyway, I like Baptists, but I'm not one, but I love them. But our great Baptist brethren and sisterin. Okay, sure. When they baptize people, this is a lot of times what they say. What do they say? They said buried with Christ as they put you under the water. And to raise to walk in newness of life. That is strong, strong biblical doctrine that you are dying to yourself and you are being raised up as a new creation in Christ, just like Jesus in the grave, now out of the grave, raised to walk in a new way, in a new life. That's your nature. The problem is that old nature still has desires and ways it wants to live and ways it wants to think. Old ways. Notice that the Bible says it gives you something to do with your flesh and it gives you something to do with your mind, right? He says, crucify your flesh, kill it, right? And then renew your mind. So the scripture tells us what to do with these two parts of us, our mind and our flesh desires, right? He gives us these things that we're supposed to do with those things. You understand that we're not just supposed to let everything, just all the thoughts, all the desires, all obey those things or agree with those things. We know this, right? There are thoughts, things that come to us that we are supposed to reject. And many times, let me just say this, many times what happens is that we have those thoughts, we have those desires, and then all of a sudden we think we're losers because we have those thoughts and we have those desires. You are not a loser. Have those desires. Matter of fact, Paul says it in verse 12, and we see, he said, has God not said, he doesn't want you to be wise, he wants you to, you know, he's holding back on you, which is many times a lot of the lies of a lot of our sins and the things that we are tempted to do. You'll be better off if you just do this, right? But it's interesting that that Eve says that she saw the fruit and saw that it was good to make one wise, and she desired it. She desired it. That desire, when she obeyed that desire, it led to sin. So if she would have taken that desire and rejected that desire, things would have turned out a lot different. So you are not subject to every desire that you have. We're not called to be subject to every single desire that we have. Desires and feelings, those thoughts, they'll betray you. Those thoughts from the enemy and from the old nature of who you used to be, all those thoughts, they'll betray you. Feelings of there's not only sinful feelings, but just ungodly thinking about the way we think about yourself, the way you think about yourself. We live in a world now that every desire, And every feeling you should just go with. Every desire, every feeling, every sense, every time you have this feeling or thought, you should go with. That is untrue. Because you do have an enemy. We live actually in a world where they're celebrated. Every desire, whatever you want to do, whatever desire you want, just do it. Because you'll be free. That's the lie from the garden. It's the same lie. It's the same deception. Go ahead, let those desires, because her desire, listen, Eve's desire was real. I want to be wise. I want to know good and evil. I want to know those things. I know what God said, but I want to know. Those are desires, that she had those desires in her. You and I, we have those wild, weird, confusing desires in you, in us. Let's not play any games and pretend like they don't exist. They do exist because it's the voice of the imposter, the lower nature that lives, that wages war, the things I don't want to do, the things I do, the things I wish I wouldn't do, that I do those things. Those desires and those things are at war in you. But Paul goes on to say, thanks be to God. How will I overcome this? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Gives me the power because Jesus has raised me with him from the dead and has seated me in high places above all demonic forces, above all other powers, that I've been seated with him. So these desires, like all kind of desires, and let me just get, can we get really real? There may come, this is going to get really real. Are y'all ready? As a married human, a husband or a wife, let's say you work with someone and you work with someone close to you at your job, you work somewhere. Do you understand that all of a sudden you can start having feelings for that person as a married person? We live in a world where there's a lot of affairs. You can have those feelings, but what are you going to do with those feelings? Just because you have those feelings, A, doesn't mean you're a terrible person. B, doesn't mean you're an adulterer. C, doesn't mean you have to go with those feelings. So just because you have feelings, doesn't mean you have to obey those feelings, those desires. Your feelings will betray you. Husbands, wives, we need to know these things. Because the temptation and the sin is rampant in our world. We need to understand and we need to live in those guidelines. I'll be honest. In churches, not in this church, in churches. A youth pastor, I remember being a youth pastor in another church, girl hitting on me. Can we be honest? I'm a married man. She knows my wife. We're both leaders in the church. And she's hitting on me. You know what that feels? You know what that feels like? Feels good. Still got it. You know what I did? I went home and told my wife, this girl in this church just hit on me. And you know what my wife did? She had a little conversation. With her. I'd already had the conversation with her. This line is drawn. I know where those desires lead. I know that may feel good and make me, you know, whatever. But listen, no. I don't have to obey every desire that comes in my mind. I don't have to obey every bit of thinking that comes in my mind. Is that honest enough? You don't have to obey that. And your feelings will betray you. Your desires will betray you, church. We're called to live differently. That was the imposter trying to deceive me. Just saying. These same sex desires that our world is struggling with. You don't have to obey every desire that you have. Not every desire is okay. Not every thought about your gender is okay. You are created in Christ, created by Him. So all of these things, we live in a world where it just is, whatever you feel, it's okay. That is not biblical. And as a follower of Jesus, we reject those things. I'm not telling anybody outside the body of Christ what to do. That's fine. Whatever they want to do. But we call ourselves believers in the church. This is the Bible. And a lot of the things that are in the Bible, they don't line up to the way maybe we wish they would be. I don't like the fact that things that I believe cause offense to people around me. We just sang it a minute ago. If the truth offends, help me say it anyway, God, in love and kindness and goodness. But I am who God created me to be. God didn't make any mistakes. He didn't make any accidents. He didn't choose me or somebody else better than me. He made me who I am. And I'm good with that. Matter of fact, the psalmist says this. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. My soul. If your soul in this room, if your soul doesn't know it well, there's grace for you. And there's God's help towards you. And God's ability to pull you into Himself and allow Him to put His approval of who you are on you and how He made you for the goodness of God. Amen. Those desires are not to be played with, right? They're not to be, and just because you have them doesn't mean you obey them, is what I'm trying to say. Other desires, you have too much pizza and not enough vegetables. And you can't just put vegetables on a pizza. I mean, you can. You shouldn't. Wow. What happened to your church? I mentioned pizza and I mentioned vegetable and pizza and everybody left the church. We talked about gender identity and same-sex desires. That was fine. Then we mentioned vegetables on pizza and the whole church split. That's amazing. We'll love each other in our differences. Remember, we just sing it. Thank you for doing that song, Eric. I appreciate that. Our desire is to be lazy and inactive. Desires for an abundance of alcohol. It's a snare. It's a trap. Feelings of being unloved. Unaccepted. Feelings of not belonging. Those feelings will betray you. Feelings of worry, they'll betray you. Feelings of not good enough. Sure. Whatever self-image. Those feelings will betray you. Those feelings will lead you many times. These feelings will lead you down a destructive path. And many times, though, your feelings will lead you away from God, the God who loves you. Gideon had those feelings. Going to do is we're going to realize. How are we going to walk this out? How is this my favorite question? What does this look like? What does this look like in your life? As a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, what does this look like? Is realize that you are dead to sin. Consider yourself that way. Actually, he uses a good old Southern term. He says, in another version, he says, reckon. Glory. He says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Reckon yourself. Consider yourself dead to sin. What does that look like? That in your mind, remember we talked about last week a little bit, that you are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. You once were a sinner, but now you've all kind of thing. That is my lower nature. I battle that thing. Remember last week, we said we don't wear some of these diagnoses like a blanket. No, that's my enemy. That is the thing that's trying to keep me. That's recognized, it's named. And now I know how to deal with it. I know what I am dealing with, right? Reckon this. I think about growing up, I've always been short, right? I've always been not the most tall person on the planet, right? And so that's always been an issue, honestly. But I remember somebody, I can't remember who it was, some great, short, great theologian. And he said this, and I went, you know what, I'm adopting that. He says, I'm 10 times bigger on the inside than I'm on the outside. That's the truth. You know, that's true inside of my soul. Look at that little man syndrome. No, it's who I am. I am. I know, but consider yourself that way. Think about yourself that way. That's the attitude of a believer, is an overcomer. We joke about it, the winner mentality, you know, God made me a winner, all those kind of things. We joke about it, but it's the truth. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The greater one lives within the inside of you. The greater one. That's who you're called to be. And that's how we're supposed to live. He says, reckon yourself dead to that other stuff and reckon yourself alive to who you are. That's what God's called us to be. Isn't that good? It's not even, we even say this, well, I'm growing into that person. No. You are that person. Christ's work is complete in you. I'm not growing into that. You're growing into the understanding, maybe. But you are that. You are a new creation. You are this is really good. Thanks. You are the original version of who you're supposed to be is your new creation. I'm going to say that again. The original version of who you're supposed to be is your new creation. The imposter wants you to remain the way you are. That lower nature. So we're going to realize that's who I am. And then through our life, during our course of our life, we're going to do another R, and that's remember. We're going to remember. We're going to live in an attitude of remembering. Sometimes we forget and wander off in our thinking and our thoughts. We all lose focus. We all get tempted by desires and feelings to go back to that comfortable place of familiarity, because it is familiar. We all lose focus, but we need to remember. So how many of y'all are like one of those people where you just like, I need something to see to remember I am that person? Like, I am the to-do list guy, right? I am the sticky note person. I am the person that when I need to see it, I need things to help me to remember, right? How many of y'all are like that? You need stuff to remember. I am like, if I don't have it, like our staff meetings, quite honestly, are for me to do my to-do list. So the rest of the week, I can do my to-do list. Amen? Right? So I appreciate all you guys who come to staff. We need to be reminded. I'm the person I need, like I just changed the, I missed two meetings a couple weeks ago. Man, I was so bummed. How many of you have ever done that? You're sitting at your desk or you're sitting and all of a sudden you're like, Oh, yeah, I was supposed to go to that meeting. Oh, that was an hour ago. So, or you get that text. Hey, man, are you okay? Like, no, I'm just a loser. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not a loser. I'm not a loser. I just forgot. But I just put on my phone, I just did my new, man, every one of my notifications, they like go off and ding, 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 ding. Like, those are so many different notifications on my phone. Now, to help me to remember, God made the iPhone just for me. Because he knows I need to be reminded, and I just go, because I will just go through my day and forget everything. And the people who work with me, they know those things. But the scripture says, so we all need a reminder. I need to be reminded for appointments. I need to be reminded for my to-do list. I need to be reminded of whatever. I also need to be reminded of who I am. And the scripture says that it's interesting. Let's look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. He said, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into his image. We are becoming walking in the knowledge of who we are. And we do that. The number one way, I don't have my Bible. Let me see that Bible. Here, Bible. We do that because this book is like a mirror. And that what is great about doing is it's great about revealing who I really am. It's not great at showing me, well, it does show me who I act like, for sure. But it shows me who I am. And this mirror allows me to look at it and go, yep. Yep, that eyebrow is like going all crazy. I got some big old thick. Lord knows. It's a whole other part of my life. It also, like, I got something right there in my nose. I need to get that because it's a mirror. Hey, I wasn't really walking in love with my wife today. I was just reminded of that from the scripture. I need to go make that right. Hey, you know what? It says, I've been feeling really discouraged lately, but you know what? God is my comfort. He's my encourager. All in his word. So when we look at his word, it's like a mirror. And it shows us who we are. And it reveals to us areas in our life that we're not walking in those ways. You know, God is in. Hear me. God is for you. This is not a battle against. This is the way I used to think. It seemed like, you know, God already likes you. He already likes you. As a matter of fact, it's not. And then I used to think that, I'm getting all this stuff together so I can be good before God. And then I realized that God actually wants to get in the muck and all the stuff with me and walk with me through it. And encourage me in it. I wasn't fighting in my own self to somehow please God. God was actually within me by his spirit, creating a new person on the inside of me, with me. It's not like he was away from me. God was in me, working with me and for me. You know, God is like your biggest cheerleader. If you allow him to be. Many of us, we put God in this, that loser. Man, he'll never get it right. I try and try and try. And we look at God in this way where he's like this constant, this is for somebody in this room. You look at God and he's constantly disappointed in you. That's a wrong way to view the Father in heaven who loves you and is for you. He believes in you. How many of y'all are glad? Some of you, like, if you're like in your 50s, you know God has been so patient with me through all of my nonsense and all of my stupid thinking and all of my, he is patient with you. I'm in his word. It's interesting that the first thing that Adam and Eve wanted to do when they sinned was run. And God came walking, calling them. Interesting. And he knew, God knew. If you're away from God in this room, understand that God is walking in the cool of the garden, looking for you, calling your name, because he's for you. Then when I remember, I see God's word, I look, I go, oh yeah, God loves me, he's for me, he's behind me, he's encouraging me, he's not only around me, but he's in me, working to do good. I remember. And then what we're going to do, the next R, is we're going to reclaim. We're going to reclaim the person that God's called us to be. I may have been walking in that way I shouldn't be walking. I may have been living in a way. I may have been thinking in a way I shouldn't have been thinking. I may have thought about myself in a way I shouldn't have thought about myself differently than the way God sees me. Self. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its desires. Do not offer your parts to you, do not offer parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but those who are alive from the dead, offer your, I gotta quit sinning. I'm gonna stop sinning. This day, I'm gonna stop sinning. I'm not gonna sin today. And go, you know what? I'm gonna walk in the fruits of the Spirit today. I'm gonna show love, kindness, goodness, whatever. No. Live your life as weapons of righteousness, of goodness, everywhere you go. Live your life that way. Kindness will flow. The fear of man will leave. Love of other people will flow freer when you walk in that new person that God's created. That's where you're created to do. Fear leaves. Can you imagine? Like, imagine this is your reality. Your feelings of unworthiness leaves because you know who you are in Christ. Ungodly feelings that you have towards God leaves. Joy comes back to your life. Freedom comes. Living in the knowledge that you're in favor with God. That you're in favor with God. Peace comes. Faith comes. You become full of hope. That their things can change and they will change. Your false identity, that lower nature leaves. Confidence in how God made you. No more confusion about who you are. No more listening to that stupid imposter who all he wants to do is bring you down. All he wants to do is destroy you. All he wants to do is to team up with the enemy to kill, to steal. My prayers do matter. My prayers do make a difference. I can boldly approach the throne of grace to find help that I need in time of need. I can do that because of who I am in Christ. I am who God made me to be. I am fully confident of the nature of Christ that he's made me to be. I will not be a victim. I will not be a victim to the things that are in my past. I will not be defined by the things that are in my past, but I'll be defined by who God says I am today. Amen? Come on. What I want to stir up in you, I want to stir up a fight in you this morning. A little bit of holy anger. How dare that lower imposter person try to tell me who I am and limit me in my life? Tell me I'm no good. Tell me I'm not worth it. Amen? Let's all stand together. You are not the voice of your imposter. You are not. In him, Eric, can you come up? In him, I'm made right with God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I am. I am. Say it with me. Say, I am. More than a conqueror. You don't win like the Braves won yesterday by one run. We didn't win like the Angels won yesterday by 24 runs. 25-1. It's tough to be a Colorado Rocky today. You are 25-1 winners in this room. actually, it was 25 to nothing until the Rockies scored a home run in the eighth. It's a bad day. It's a bad day. That's a bad day for your imposter. It's a bad day. Today, today's gonna be a bad day for that imposter of mine who tries to look like me, deceive, live I had a good definition of an imposter. But live with a deception in mind to deceive me. Yeah. I'm not doing it anymore. I've drawn the line. I've drawn the line in the sand and say, not anymore. I may fall tomorrow, but I'm not today. I'm going to walk in who I am called to be today. I'm going to walk in the fact that my God loves me. He's for me. He died on a cross to redeem me and make me a new creation. Amen? That's who you are. Say it again. Say, I am what God says I am. Say it like you mean it. Say, I am what God says I am. Say, I can do what God says I can do. Say, nothing is impossible for God. That wayward child of yours, nothing is impossible. Nothing. 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 God created him. He can fix him. Deception has to go. That feeling of worthlessness has to go. Has to go. Let me just go ahead and break it off of you right here. If you've ever walked in these doors and said, I don't belong, that's a lie. And all the people of God said,
amen.
You belong. Are you all fixed, ready to go? Nope. Everybody who's fixed and 100% ready to go, I'm going to ask you to leave. And let us all learn how to walk this all out. Amen? Because I don't need perfect people messing me all up. Because I'm still walking this out. Amen? I'm still, my mind is being renewed to the things who God is. My flesh is being put down daily. Come on up, Jessica. She said she had something.
So it's something that we learned at camp this week when we were discussing the Holy Spirit. So is in line with what Pastor David said. And I saw it as someone who's been walking with Jesus however long I have in a new light. So I want to share it to encourage you. It comes out of John chapter 14 when Jesus is talking to his disciples some last words before he goes to the cross. He says in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, I used to hear that and that sounded super churchy, right? That sounded exactly what we think Christianity is all about. Follow all the rules, right? But the very next verse is what God enlightened on my heart, gave me new revelation, let it sense, right? I'm a leader. I'm like a pastor. And I was like, oh man, I might as well be 12 years old again, right? You just totally wrecked my heart, Jesus, that I need to remember to live in love with other people. I got, Holy Spirit, you got to help me today, live in love. I don't want to talk to people. I mean, that's me. That's the introvert heart, right? So I'm preaching to some people right now. Like, help me. I don't want to necessarily do that. Or help me today. I don't want to look at that thing with that desire. And this is what Pastor's saying, is we feel like we have to muster that up and make it happen. No, we have to look at the next verse. Desires to follow the commandments that we've been encouraged with today only come from the helper that Christ has sent us. And it says in that verse, it says, and he will lead you. He will lead you. Mm. Another thing they pointed out at camp is God never says, I promise. He didn't have to. His word is authority alone. We say, I promise, because we tend to lie. So to gird it up with something, we'll say, I promise. God didn't have to do that. His word says, he will lead you into all truth.
Yeah, so good.
So there are things that are happening and even lies that we don't even recognize as lies yet because we've lived in them so long. They're like walled in and that's our reality.
Yeah.
God, help me realize, lead me in all truth to the lies that I'm believing about myself or even about you. So ask and remember to ask for the helper in these things.
Yeah, that's right. That's so good. That's good. Keep your eyes closed right here. This topic of identity is so, so important. Of who you are. so important. Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said that if you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a stone. And then Jesus says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? To those who ask. So maybe you're in this room and you feel dry. You feel away from God. You feel the struggle. Some of you may say, man, I'm this close to just walking away. I'll give you a million reasons why that's a terrible idea. But the greatest reason is you'd be walking away from the one who loves you the most. And the one who wants to fill you with a helper. So right where you're at, I want you to just hold your hands out like you're going to receive something. That's such a good word, Jessica. Thank you. And just ask. I'm not even going to lead you in a prayer. I want you and God. You and God. Not you praying somebody else's. You ask. Say, God, I need the helper. I need your help. I need your help. To walk in your ways. To walk as the person you called me to be. To walk in the reality who you made me to be, recreated. So God, I need your help. Help me, God. Yeah, just even now, just there's some decision. And the Lord is just like, just ask me. Thank you. Thank you for your help. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Have me go. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We thank you that you're for us, that you're not against us. We thank you that you help us, your ever-present help in time of need. And God, we need your help. God, I need your help as we walk out these doors. God, I need your help. I need your presence and your help as I go home and deal with family and friends. I need your help tomorrow as I go to work and deal with people who don't know you. I need your help, God, as I go to out into the world where people mock me and say all kind of evil things about us. God, I need your help. I need your encouragement. Help us to love people. Help us to walk in an understanding and knowledge that you're with us wherever we go. In the mighty name of Jesus.